Hi everybody, we are so great to see you all here. We're going to talk today about the gift of family recovery. And we have three couples here. We have Polly and then Dave. We've got my beautiful wife, Jane, and me, James, and then Linda and Bob. And that's the order that we're going to share. And we're going to share for about 10 minutes each. So, yeah. Are you excited about that? I'm pretty darn excited. So, we're going to start with Polly. I think she's setting up her timer over here. Yeah. So, I'm going to fill time while she's setting her timer. She's almost there, y'all. All right. So, I give you the amazing Polly P, and who I love very much, in large part because she's my mom.
Thanks, everybody. My name's Polly Pistol, and I'm an alcoholic. By God's grace in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't had a drink since April the 11th of 1977, and for that, I am eternally grateful. Oh, my God. And I cannot tell you what a gift that is. I just can't even believe I've lived this long. I can't believe I've got that much sobriety. I'm just so grateful. And what we're talking about here today is the gifts of sobriety. I don't know. I'm supposed to talk for 10 minutes. Oh, that's 4 minutes. Okay, got it. I'm supposed to talk for like 10 minutes on the gifts of sobriety. Well, I'm going to start off by saying probably part of my greatest gifts are at this table with me, and that is my daughter-in-law, my son, and my husband. And I'm so grateful that we've weathered sickness, we've weathered all the things we have, and he's still here. And that's amazing. And for that, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that I have a daughter-in-law and a son who are really, they think they're the boss of me. And they are, because I don't know how to take care of myself. I come from a generation that just does not know how to do that. I mean, you come from a generation of my mother gave and gave and gave, and that's what I do. And I don't know how to not do that. And so what I'm trying to learn how to do is to do that at age 82. And I'm an old student here, and so, but I have the gifts of that. I have the gifts that my husband is still alive. He has weathered one thing after another. It has been like, you know, we've walked all the way to the edge, and then God says, not now, and we get to pull back like Barbara and Dick. It's a similar situation. You just, you know, it's, you think this is it, and it's not it. So that is an amazing gift. I have the gift that one of the things that is a little bit hard, and it's, but it's something I've got to do, you know, and that is I have had a ride in Alcoholics Anonymous. Dave and I have had a ride. By God's grace, we have traveled the world just because we drank too much whiskey. And it's amazing. And now, because of Dick, we're getting to do, you know, so we get to do some of the things still. And that's amazing because what happens is if you get on the road a little bit, you have friends on the road. And it's so, you know, it's so marvelous that you hook up with these friends and you get to see them. Like Mildred, I am so happy I got to come see you when you weren't at your best. you had fallen. I mean, this woman was up on a ladder and she fell. And I was privileged enough to be able to stay a couple of days with her. So I love you so much. And you were still trying to take care and making sure we ate right and all that kind of stuff. Those are the miracles that you get to have a home group with all the people that you have in AA. You get to have people that you meet along the way that are really friends and you care about. And those are the gifts of Alcoholics Anonymous. One of the things that I have been so excited about all my sobriety is that my son James came into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was only 6.5 years sober. I was still like a newcomer myself when James came into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have my oldest son, and things were pretty good when I lived in Southern California. And that is that I got to see him. He didn't spend much time with me. I didn't really understand why. All I know is that we just always had a little more trouble communicating, a little bit different relationship than I had with James. And while we were in Southern California, we lived really close to each other. And I had my grandchildren all the time. It was really wonderful. But not much of him. He didn't really want to stay around me that much. And 4 years ago, he called me up on the phone, and he said, "Mom, I'm going to rehab." I hadn't even really been close enough to him to even really know that he had a problem. I know that he had a lot of problems with his ex-wife, and he ended up remarrying, and I knew that there had been some ripples in the water, as Sonia was singing. There was ripples in the water, and I knew that. But he called me up and said he was going to rehab. And another thing is, I have been away from Southern California 20 years. And my son, my oldest son, has not spent one night with me in my house in 20 years. In fact, rarely comes to my house. But Dave ended up in the hospital not long ago, a few weeks ago. And Russ came and stayed 1 week with me. And I can't even begin to tell you what a blessing that was. We didn't do anything. We didn't go anywhere. We barely got to, even eat out, because what we did is we stayed with Dave. But he was there for me, and he was so amazing, just so amazing. And all I know is that Alcoholics Anonymous works, and it took me 41 years in this program, praying 41 years, but today I have a son who is sober 4 years this month. It's right around, James will know the day.
Thanksgiving
is when it is. And it's just, don't give up. We keep hearing that in Alcoholics Anonymous. Don't give up. I went twice a year to Southern California, every year, twice a year to Southern California. And now the miracle has happened. Thanks.
Thank you, Pauline. My name is Dave Pistone, an alcoholic. I know I don't look like one, but alas, it is true. It's hard to put a name to what you believe Alcoholics Anonymous to be, because it is so many things. You know, it is just so many things. I wasn't looking for another wife. I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but Polly is my fourth wife. But I've made amends for those first three, because we've been married for 42. She says two. I'm not sure, but I'll check. And if she's not right, I'll notify you guys. Anyways, we've been married a long time. And during that time, we have been very active members of Alcoholics Anonymous. We started two or three groups. All our very closest friends are at Alcoholics Anonymous. We have a little cadre of people in Southern California there. I'm sorry, yes, in Jacksonville, Florida, where we live now. And they, we just always do things together. You know, we call it the posse. Not much imagination there, but nevertheless, that's what we call it. And we have beautiful women and handsome men. And it is just such a pleasure to know someone that well and to be that well thought of among your peer group. And that's our peer group, and that's the way we think of them. The highest possible applause goes to them for what they do for us. Anyway, when Polly and I first met, it was like an oversized lightning bolt went off in the sky. Is that corny enough for you? Don't worry, I have more. Anyway, we were just friends. For the first several years we were married, we were together in Alcoholics Anonymous, just friends. And one day, something crept into my mouth. I don't know what it was, but it was something. And it didn't stay long either. It just hid in the back corner and waited its time. And further on down the road, I couldn't help it. I just could not help myself. I asked her to marry me, and she said she would. There was only one minor little problem. We were both already married. Not to each other. And that worried Polly quite a bit. And I just said, sweetheart, there's not a district attorney on the planet that is interested in you and I being bigamous to the point where he will press charges and haul us into court. So we got married, and it is, here we are. It is hard to tell anybody what Alcoholics exactly has done. But the details, I'm not sure, are that important, because the details are very real. And so I have, when I first met her, I thought she was the most magnificent lady that I had ever met in my entire life. And I still feel that way. And so we've had a good ride. The first thing we did was pack all our meager goods and head for Michigan in the winter, in case those of you who are here who have never been to Michigan in the winter. Somebody's laughing. But we had two cars. We had a brand new We had a brand new Ford four-lane and a little 1958, even though this was in the 1960s, I think. We also had a VW Bug, and Polly worked in another city nearby, and she had to drive to work. And I told her, "You don't have to drive that. I'll drive that one. You drive the new one." She wouldn't do it. Polly says no. She means no. So it's been a moonlight hayride ever since. It's just been fabulous. Thanks to you. I mean, I didn't know how to do this, as I said earlier. Polly was my fourth wife, and none of them were a big smash hit. Not a one. And that was with me doing the best I could, which wasn't much either. And so get in here if you're not already in here, especially if you're about to embark on something as serious as marriage, because it is serious. I have so many fond memories, I don't even know where to start. Don't know where to start, but our family is a dyed-in-the-wool AA family. Everybody's in AA. I have a daughter, and she's in AA. And as is fairly common in my experience, somehow or other something happens to you when you start going to AA. You know, you grin a lot more than you used to. You're a lot more carefree than you used to be. You're changed intrinsically. From the inside out, you're changed. And you don't even know it's happening until later. Not to the extent that it does. It doesn't hang around on the outside. That type of feeling goes inside, takes your heart hostage, and says, "Okay, buddy, here we go." And there we went. And another minute.
Whoa.
And we've lived all over the place. We've lived in Michigan, we've lived in California, we've lived in a couple of places in California, two or three as a matter of fact. And we just wandered around like we knew what we were doing. We don't have a clue. We don't have a clue, but that was in California, Simi Valley. Next we moved to, next we moved to, downtown, down in the middle of Los Angeles, and it was a great, great time down there. We were just right down the street from Huntington Beach and Seal Beach, and we'd go to Seal Beach and Huntington Beach and all the beach communities. And we just had a ball. We'd ride our bikes down there, watch all the semi-clothed people play in the sand. It was just unbelievable. The Furiocals didn't like it too much, but what do we care? And it was just, and I could not have done it. I absolutely could not have done it, and I know this down to my soul. I could not have done it had it not been for Alcoholics Anonymous. I attribute AA for being the masterpiece of the program that let all that happen. Let me, I'm out of gas. She doesn't hear around the bush. She just says, "You're done." She gets right to the point. So I will now hand this microphone over to, who wants it next? The pretty lady way over on my right, sitting next to the podium. She wants it next, but we all want it because it's such a joy to come here and tell you about what miracles God has performed in our lives. To Him we give all the credit. And when somebody says it's your turn, you know God is expecting something out of you. He's expecting you to share what He's given you. I think He is expecting me to share what He's given me. And Lord knows I've tried to do that. Okay, this is my daughter-in-law. Little cutie down there with the long hair. And her name is Jane.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jane, and I'm an alcoholic. And first off, I want to thank Sonia for that amazing song that was so apropos for the topic of this, which is the family in recovery. And then, of course, I want to thank my in-laws. I mean, talk about amazing in-laws. I really lucked out, you know. I love Polly and Dave so much, and you know, there's such a blessing in my life. And like Dave was just saying, you know, you stay in this program long enough, it's like miracles just become our reality, you know. So anyway, there's so many things that I have to be grateful for this whole month of November. But again, I just wanted to talk about certain aspects of my family. I just mentioned my in-laws, and of course, their greatest gift to me is my amazing husband, James, who you'll hear from next. And he honestly is the greatest gift in my sobriety. And I can't wait for you to get to know James if you don't know him already. He is the finest man that I've ever met in my life, and I'm not just saying that. He is somebody who truly walks the walk, talks the talk really well too, but he follows through by walking the walk. And I'll tell you something, his demeanor and his kindness, I aspire to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous like my husband. So I love you so much. Oh my gosh. And if you don't know anything about our history, we actually met at an AA conference back in 2009. So, yeah, it is a boy meets girl on AA campus kind of romance we had. But anyway, and I also, before I get into the next aspect of my family, which includes all of you, I want to mention my dog, Angus. Many of you have met Angus. And he's my family. He is like a part of my family. I know Polly always says, you know, dog is God spelled backwards, you know? And it's so true. But I've never had any children, and James is actually my first husband. So I can't tell you how much of a family member Angus is and how much joy and love he brings to our household. And James will tell you more about Angus later, too. But yeah, and I also want to thank Barbara and Dick because their whole idea of this weekend, I believe, is to be a family-oriented weekend. And very rarely do I get asked to share with my husband James when we're a couple, but to be asked to speak with other members of my family is really just an amazing honor. So I love your vision. I hope everybody's feeling the family vibe this weekend. There's nothing like it. So, yeah, I talked about my in-laws. I talked about my husband, who, by the way, I know a lot of people cringe when I say this, but I mean it. Before I go to anyone else for any kind of suggestions, I go to my husband. That's how much I feel about our relationship. Even before my sponsor. Unless, of course, it has to do with him. But I love that that's how open our lines of communication are. We have no secrets. We love open communication. And I'm so blessed to have that because I never had that before. And you know, again, that's the nature of our relationship is all thanks to you, because you're the ones who taught us how to live honestly and truthfully and lovingly, you know. And now I want to spend the remainder of my time talking about my family of origin. As many of us have experienced, there's been an estrangement in that arena. And a very close second is my rebuilding my relationship with my family. My family is everything to me. I let me tell you, I tore through my family like the proverbial riptide. And, you know, on my detour into alcoholism. But while my drinking and drugging affected all of my personal affairs and everyone who loved me, the ones who it affected most were my family. And, you know, some of you I know my story, but I went away to prison for 5 years. And so me and my family had time to figure that all out. Plenty of time, as a matter of fact. But I'll tell you, the one key thing I remember is my dad saying, "Janie, the best apology is changed behavior." And, you know, you can write all you want to write and talk all you want to talk while you're in there, but really the, you know, your feet hit the pavement and free ground when you get out is really what's going to tell us the story. But I still was able to do a lot of healing and a lot of cleaning up when I was in prison. You know, like all of us said, what do we do next? You know, but we all knew that the power of God, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was working in all of our lives, in my family's life and in my life the whole time we were in prison. And, you know, it's so funny, Barbara, because you mentioned today this woman, Delaney. Well, she was who my parents were, like, kind of trained under. My relationship with my parents only healed because of their intervention with her. And she was very hardcore, tough love. I mean, my parents, the whole 5 years I was in prison, I was allowed to call home on my birthday and on Easter and Christmas. That was it. They did not send me a penny the whole 5 years I was in prison. They were like tough love to the core. So thanks, Miss Delaney, whoever you are. But anyway, yeah. But I'm, you know, I understood them and I got where they were coming from. And it gave me the opportunity to work on a resentment. Yeah, while I was in prison. And as a matter of fact, my time away had me work on a lot of my character defects. So I was thinking about this before. You know, unloved people do bad things. And I felt like I was unloved. I felt like I was the black sheep of my family. And I acted out on that. I was raised in a really Catholic family, and I feel like I had this sense of adventure that I wasn't supposed to have. I didn't, you know, feel like I fit the mold that my mother wanted me to be, which was to get married, have a bunch of kids, and live happily ever after. I wanted to see the world, you know, I wanted to date a whole bunch of different people, I didn't want to be tied down, and I feel like as a result of feeling like I was the black sheep, I acted out on those behaviors. You know what I mean? But actually, that was a delusion. I really was loved. And what I know for sure now is that loved people do really good things, and which is the opposite, you know? So I felt like all of these dichotomous places that I lived in, or, you know, like living in the middle of that contradiction, really helped me to figure out who I was and what I wanted, you know? So, anyway, life is filled with highs and lows, and I feel like there's growth in all of those opportunities. Even in adversity, we learn to grow and hopefully move forward. And the main theme that I think that explains my story is, and my dad said this to me too, he said, if you want to succeed, if you want to triumph, you're going to have to do this all on your own. And I did. And I feel like him and my family empowering me like that really stopped me from being devoured. So I love that phrase. I forget who said it. I think it was Richard Rohr, right? Become empowered instead of devoured. And really, if I had to put my recovery into just a small phrase, that would be it. And so anyway, I once again am so grateful that I'm here. I'm so grateful that I was allowed to share a little bit about my story. And just very quickly, I want to just honor my dad because I talked about him a lot today. And sadly, he's rapidly declining. And I'm sorry I'm getting emotional, but, you know, I think about the people that have gone beyond, too. You know, my father's in a physical and cognitive decline right now. But I think about my grandparents, too, and I don't have time to talk about them. But even the people that have passed or are passing, you know, the influence that they continue to have on our lives and how blessed we are that we've had such amazing influences in most of our families, you know. And I feel so responsible for sharing how powerful the influence of family is in forums like this. So anyway, I love you all. You guys are my family too. And just to close, let me tell you this great story. So last weekend or two weekends ago, we were in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and this amazing woman stood up for during the countdown. She had 51 years of sobriety. And after I shared my story, she came up to me and she gave me this pin of a camel. And it's on my sweater. I promised her that I'd wear it at every convention moving forward. But she said she got this pin at her first convention when she was 9 months sober. And she gave it to me. I mean, I was like, what an honor. But that's what family does, you know. I just thought that would be a really cute example of, like, sometimes we have no idea about the sisters and brothers that we're meeting in these rooms. So anyway, I'm gonna carry out the promise that I made her and wear it to every single convention that I go to. So, all right, I'll be quiet now. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane. Hi, everyone. James Lee, alcoholic.
Hi, James.
Hey, y'all. Dick, thank you so much for asking us to be here. I mean, Jane and I, but also the rest of my family that's up here. And I'm sitting here as they all shared, feeling intense and immense gratitude. I feel like I'm the most fortunate person on the planet to have these people in my life. I'm so lucky. My amazing wife, Jane, I love you so much. She's also my favorite AA speaker. So when you'll see tomorrow when you hear her. She's amazing, but I love you so much. I'm so grateful we get to walk this road together. It's something. And, of course, my mom, who I'm so proud to be my mom's son. I'm so proud to be my son. And let me tell you, that wasn't always the case. I thought being Polly's son was the most uncool thing. You know why? Because when I first got sober, I would travel to go visit them in California, and every meeting I'd go to, people would come up to me, "Oh, you must be Polly's son. You must be Polly's son." And I'm like, "I have a name, everybody. You must be Polly's son." So I'm like, "Yeah." And I remember my friend Lon came with me one year, and people went up to him, and they said, "Oh, you must be Polly's son's friend." So it's all, you know, it's all about Polly. So that was tough, you know, when you're a young adult emerging out of an extended adolescent period, to accept. But I want to tell you, today I am so proud, so grateful, so honored, Mom. You're just such a bright, shining light in the world. And I'm so grateful to have been able to watch that my entire sobriety. And Dave, I love you. You're an awesome dude, and so grateful that you're in my life, too. They're just amazing, aren't they? Yeah, give them a hand. I love those people. All right, I thought what I would talk about. Let me start by saying I'm a son of an alcoholic. I'm a stepson of an alcoholic. I'm a husband of an alcoholic. I'm a brother of an alcoholic. And I don't know if I'm a father of an alcoholic. So time will tell, maybe, right? So I have three kids, 29, 26, and 23. And so far, one of them I had high hopes for, but he just couldn't hang in there, you know? So it's tough to hang in there and be an alcoholic. But anyway, I want to talk about being a brother of an alcoholic. About 4 years ago, my brother called me and he said, a little over 4 years ago, he said, as my mom mentioned, I'm going into rehab. And I said, really? What for? You know, I had no idea. And he said, for drinking. And I said, why? Are you kidding me? And he said, I've been secretly drinking every night for over a decade or something like that. I may exaggerate, but it was a long time. And I had no idea. And he went off to treatment. And as my mom mentioned, up until this time, my relationship with my brother was distant. We weren't really tight, you know. And something's happened in the last 4 years that I want to tell you about. And before I tell you about my brother, let me tell you about why I think it happened. And why I think it happened is because of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Family recovery, it happens when the family members recover. And what that means is that we work the steps. And I'm going to tell you, just kind of frame this in the ninth step. I remember when my mom got sober, I was 14 years old. She made amends to me. I was really high when she did, so I don't really remember it. So I don't know what happened that day. She says I was really angry, but I don't remember. I was just really high. Then I got sober, and I went to make amends to her. And I made the amends, you know, like my sponsor told me to, and or suggested that I do. And but it was very, I want you to know, it was very much sort of an intellectual type of amends. You know, I'm sorry, I did X, Y, Z. I really will endeavor never to do this again, et cetera, et cetera. It was all words because I couldn't experience it right here in the heart at the time. Now, I want you to know that it was important that I do that at that time, whether or not I experienced it in my heart. It was important to take the action, and I did. And she was all gushy and everything. Oh, my son's making amends. He's in recovery. Woo! So I was like, hmm. Then I went to my brother, and I said, Russ, I want to make amends, because he knew a little bit about the 12 steps at the time. And I said, I want to apologize. And he basically said, you don't need to do it. Let's not talk about it. I don't want to talk about that. And that's the way it was between he and I. So fast forward. So this all happened in 1985. Fast forward, year 2000. Dave and I hop on a plane and go to Minneapolis for the International that was held that summer. And we did it right, didn't we, Dave? We didn't have a hotel. We just had backpacks on our back, crashing on people's couches and on their floors. It was amazing. But anyway, I had a spiritual experience there, and I came home, and I said, Mom, I want to sit down. I need to tell you something. And we sat on our front porch. Remember this? And I made an amends to her that this time was from the heart. Because at this time, I was 16 years sober. I was a father of, at this time, three kids. You know, when I initially made amends to my mom, it was like, I'm sorry I did this. I imagine it was hard for you. Again, it was all intellectual. But this time, as a father, I could put myself in my mom's shoes and ask myself, what would this have been like were it one of my kids doing what I did? And how heartbreaking that must have been day after day after day, especially for someone who is sober and Alcoholics Anonymous, watching their kid kill themselves and hurt them day after day after day. So I made an amends to her from my heart. And it's never been the same. We were close before, but we became very, very close. My mom is one of the closest people in my life. And I think that it was catapulted that day into the fourth dimension, right? And I'm so grateful. And so the lesson I learned that day was it's never too late to make that amend from the heart. And then fast forward to 2018, 18 years later, I'm going to rehab. To my brother, I say, for what, right? So he goes to rehab. And then he gets sober. He starts attending AA meetings. He starts working the program. He's in recovery. I get a phone call. James, I'd like a few minutes of your time. And I thought to myself, I know what's coming, right? I know what's going to happen. He's going to make amends to me, which he did. And let me tell you, it was amazing. And not only did he make amends to me, 34 years sober, I was given the opportunity to properly make amends to my brother from the heart. And what happened that day is my brother and I became brothers. And we talk more these days than we ever have. And we have a common solution, Alcoholics Anonymous, and a very strong common bond, which is blood. And I'm so incredibly grateful. And that happened because of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So family recovery is possible. The hearts that were wounded in the depths of alcoholism can heal. Relationships can be mended. And love can be expressed amongst people that alcoholism stole from us for years. And all I can tell you is I'm very grateful for right here, right now, having those relationships and being able to love them the way I do. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Oh, wow, this is really powerful. Thank you, Sonia. Thank you, Dave, Polly, Jane, James, and all of you for being here. Family recovery is... Oh. Hi, I'm Linda. I'm an Al-Anon. I'm your token Al-Anon, is who I am. Yeah, you can't control the mic, can you? Family recovery is what it's all about and what I'm so grateful for. And being married, and maybe being married to an alcoholic, can be tough at times. I think marriage takes about everything you have. I don't think it's for wimps or sissies. It's hard, you know, sharing your life with somebody, as wonderful as they may be. It just takes all you've got. And I can't imagine doing it without the program and the tools that Al-Anon has given me. And then you add to that three addict children, and it just gets so exciting at times. You just can hardly stand it. We were having lunch today, and I can't remember. One of the women said that her children were growing up so fast, and I said, "Well, just add alcoholism and drugs, and it'll slow down a little bit for you." But you know what? I've had the tools. It has not been easy, but it's been wonderful. Being a mother has been the best thing I've ever been given the privilege of doing. And probably the most difficult, but certainly the most rewarding. And then the good news is if you're really lucky, you get to have grandkids, and you're really glad you didn't kill your kids before the grandkids came, because there were times when it was just tough. That can't be right. I'm not good with this, so I've set a timer. It says I have 2 minutes. I'm going, that can't be right. Thank you. But I'd had a program that has taught me how to live. And by teaching me how to live, I've been able to live with Bob and to be the mom of the kids. And we have three really amazing sons. They're all adult men. They're wonderful men. They're good guys. And they all love me. And I didn't screw that up. There were times when, especially with our middle son, I could have screwed that up. And but thank God he came into the program. He's got 31 years sobriety. So he's been doing inventories, and he's been learning about how to behave and how to be a better person with using the program. And it healed everything. Our oldest son has 35 years. He no longer goes to meetings, but it certainly doesn't keep him from being a great guy and a great father. And then our youngest son has no time. He smokes a little bit marijuana here and there, but you know what? It doesn't seem to be in the way of his life, and he seems to be doing well. And my goodness, that's all we want. We come to this program to learn how to live, but we don't know that we come here to learn how to live. I came here to learn to make him behave. Many people come to, you know, cure their alcoholic relatives, and we get the ability to learn how to live. And we get the tools, and then we get this family that we are a part of. And Polly and Dave, my gosh, you've been part of our family for, well, a long, long time. And Mildred, what a pleasure to be with you, of course. And I've known you a long time, too. I'm just so filled with gratitude. Bob and I struggled the first years of our marriage quite a bit. And we worked at staying married. One of the things that Bob did, which was the greatest gift he gave us, I believe, was I think we were married about 4 years, and we were always threatening divorce. If you do that one more time, I'm going to divorce you. And I can remember the day, well, I can remember the setting, and I can remember the season, and he said, we had just had a huge fight, and he said, could we just talk for a minute? And I said, what about? You know, I mean, I was angry with him. Of course, I don't remember why, but I remember the day. And he sat me down and he said, you know, we've threatened divorce. We're threatening divorce quite a bit. Will you make a deal with me that we will never use the word again? And I didn't want to even, I was angry. You know, you're not really as kind as you might want to be at that moment. And I calmed down and I said, yeah. And from that day forward, we've been married almost 55 years. So that would be 51 years ago. We have never used the word. And he said, I don't want to speak it into being. And that was the greatest gift. You've given me so many. But if it hadn't been for that, maybe that day in that spring on that porch, maybe we wouldn't have had the rest of the time and all the gifts that I've been given. So, if you're in an alcoholic marriage, get to Al-Anon. It's just a wonderful place to learn some of the things that I've been privy to all of these years. And Bob?
Bob, alcoholic. Well, as you can see, my wife is a carrier. None of us were alcoholic when we met her. I am five or six generations alcoholic. My father had 20 years in the program. Our three sons, at one time, were all active. And to try to evaluate the importance of Linda's 55 years and my close to 55 years of sobriety, when you talk about a family illness, to be able to have the language, to be able to have the spiritual principles in action gave us a way, I think, to deal with some stuff that was very difficult to deal with. I think all of life is about love and forgiveness. If we can learn to do those two things, we can have the fullness of life. We can, in families, you know, which is, you know, if you look up alcoholism, it's under mental illness. We are the elite of the mentally ill. We sometimes think that we're really special, but, you know, we are all short bus people. And it is, but to be able to have the spiritual technology of the program, to forgive, to heal, and to love, to be able to use that in the primary relations of our life. If we don't learn how to deal with our primary relations, we almost don't have a prayer of the other relationships that we have in our lives. I mean, we really need to restore ourselves to a lot of the relationships that we have with our parents and children. It is, I believe, necessary to a full and happy life. And there are certain impediments that maybe cannot become, you know, I'm not making judgments about that, but I think for most of us, the intention is love and forgiveness. And in that comes the wholeness. The program is a movement towards love. I mean, the first three steps is to give up. 4 and 5 are to own up. 6, 7, 8, and 9 are to clean up, and 10, 11, and 12 are to grow up. We have been given, I mean, the order of it, the beauty of it, the strength of it, the lasting of it. I mean, I am more interested in the steps in the program and what it's doing for my life today than I've ever been, because it just adds to my ability to love. One of the great things when Bill talks about in the seventh step, humility, which I think is, you know, one of his best treatises, as you get older, I'm less interested in me. I'm tired of my AA talk. I'm tired of, you know, I just don't find myself all that interesting. But it is the benefit of not being as interested in yourself is you're not as important. It's not as important as much more when I enter a room and say something that everybody stop what they do and listen. Your children, you know, I mean, they would probably throw things at me today. But to be able to give everybody the space to not have to always be dealing with Bob. And, you know, dog is God spelled back. Well, Bob is Bob spelled back. Could we dwell on that just for a minute? But the damage that we did in our illness and the damage that I did in the first 7 or 8 years of my recovery, I am so pleased to be able to have a healed, complete relationship with my children. That really could have been different. I was physical and inappropriate with my children to a degree, and I could have... That really could have had consequences that I just can't imagine today. That I'm so grateful that you have brought me to a point where I have that with my children, and I'm in love with my wife. And you took a self-centered, you know, person who just spent their whole time kind of obsessed with their, you know, who they were or what was going on. And am now actually, you know, so someone once said, you see those shadows out there? Those are people. You know, it has literally changed the way, it's changed everything in my life. Chamberlain said in the book, New Pair of Glasses, when he was walking into his first AA meeting, and he was a stumbling drunk. He literally could be walking down his street and trip and fall because of his neuropathy. And he walked up to me, and the guy at the front door said, are you looking for something? And he said, yeah. If it would interest you, sir, I'm looking for sobriety. And the guy's face lit up like a lantern. And Chamberlain said, little did I know I was going to enter into a place where I was going to learn how to live. And I think that's for the active people, for the people that are in this room, for the people that spent the $300, $400, whatever it was to come here, and to take the time, for the players, for the participants, for the, you know, that's what we're doing here. Why are we here? We're here because we're learning how to live. And it is a gift, and we know that that's what the program has to offer. Not abstinence. Abstinence is a great start, but it's just a start. It has the healing and love that is applicable to all areas of our life. And there has never been a more important arena of our lives than our parents, spouses, and children, and friends. Amen.
Thanks, everyone. Before we close, can we take a moment, please, and once again thank Sonia for the beautiful gift of music that she gave us? We forgot to mention Angus. And I want to ask you to thank this amazing panel of folks. I love all of you very much, and it's an honor to be on this podium with you. And with that, we're going to close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.